about a public servant. And the boy wrote, "The fireman came down the ladder pregnant." The teacher took the boy aside and said, to correct him, and said, "Don't you know what pregnant means?" she asked. "Sure," said the young boy confidently. "It means carrying a child." Makes perfect sense now, right? See? Kids a lot of times think things through in ways differently than we do. Like I said, we've been going through Revelation. We are on the trumpets right now. Last week we did the first four of the trumpets, and I'm just reminding you of those before we go on. But the first four trumpets are hail. What happens when they blow the trumpet is hail and fire with blood hurled to the earth. Something like a huge mountain is thrown into the sea. A great star falls on rivers and springs, or the fresh water. The sun, the moon, and the stars go dark for a period of time. And the consistent thing with all these is the idea that a third of everything is being destroyed or being disrupted. A third of the sun goes dark. A third of the oceans are destroyed. The focus is more on nature than on people. And sometimes we think of that God, when God is looking at his creation, he orients himself totally just around us. We tend to think very kind of selfishly that way, self-oriented. It's all about me and us. But God really is dealing with his whole creation. All creation, Romans says, is groaning and waiting for redemption, waiting for salvation. And this focus of God dealing with his creation is what starts with these trumpets. And there is the idea then that God started in Genesis. He created the world perfect. Good is the word that's used a lot in Genesis chapter 1. But then sin came into the world and disrupted everything. It didn't just affect me or us as human beings, but it affected everything. Everything is corrupted by sin. Everything dies. Everything falls apart. Everything is something that God has to deal with. And what we see in these first four trumpets is God starting the process of removing the old creation so that he can institute a new creation. God is in the business of putting things back the way they were, making things right, accomplishing his purpose. And so the principle to remember from last week was that God has to remove the old before he can bring in the new. And that's true not just in terms of broad creation stuff like we're talking about in Revelation, but in our own lives. After you come to faith in Christ, as you start to learn to walk in Christ, as you learn to follow Christ, as you learn to live in God's love, there are things from the past that you have to stop doing and that you have to start doing something else. We call this repentance. That in order for the new to come, a lot of times the old has to be, if not removed, at least changed. You can't do things the way that you used to do. There's this little story about a guy in the mafia who went to a Billy Graham crusade and got saved. After he got saved, he just went back to the mafia and started doing the same old things that he did before. And he said, and when he was confronted about this, he said, "Well, if you're a plumber and you get saved, you still do plumbing. If you're a carpenter, you still do carpentering. If I'm a gangster, why can't I be a Christian gangster?" You can't, because all that stuff has got to pass away. You got to do things differently now. You're not the same as you were before. And that's the principle that we got from the first four trumpets. So here's the thing at the end of those first four trumpets. There's a little interruption before we go to the fifth, and that's in Revelation 8, verse 13, and it says, "As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels.'" There's a little bit of a change. The first four trumpets are all directed toward nature or towards creation. And now we're going to change, and it's going to be different. There's going to be woes. Now, woe spelled this way is different than the woe spelled another way. If you're riding a horse and you say, whoa, that means stop. These woes mean whatever's coming is not good. In fact, it's worse than the first four. And you think, wow, all the grass has been burned up and the waters have turned bitter and people are dying and there's, how can it be worse than that? How can it be that those happened and now we've got these other trumpets coming and they're going to be worse? That's so much good news, right? It's not good news, and that's the whole point of this eagle flying an announcement around. Whatever bad things you have seen so far, you are now going to see something worse. You're going to see something terrible. And I'm going to give you a little heads up. We're changing from attacking the natural world, which we saw in the first four trumpets, to attacking people and things spiritually in the second and the third and the next trumpets. It's going to be a different focus. Everything up till now has or could have a kind of a natural explanation. We talked about, you know, the star falling from heaven. Well, that could be some kind of meteor or something like that that causes problems. The mountain falling could be a volcano. There's hail and there's these kinds of things are all more have could or at least possibly could have a natural explanation. The things that we're going to read about next don't have a natural explanation. So are you ready to read about what's going to happen next?
Yes.
No, you're not, apparently, so we'll just go ahead and break for lunch because, we're going to do it anyway. So we're going to start off Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, and the first part of it says, "The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth." Now we just talked about a star falling to the earth, right? It could be the same star that was in the third trumpet, but it's not likely to be. But we do know that, and as we keep reading, we'll see this more clearly, but stars in the Bible a lot of times represent angels. Represent a spiritual being. It's likely that the third trumpet that has a star falling to earth is not the same thing as this one. This one, as we're going to see, this one has a this star has a personality. It has a name, or he or she has a name. This is a being of some sort, and we'll see that more clearly in a minute. But the idea that, first of all, is that it doesn't say, I saw a star falling from the sky to the earth. It says, I saw a star that had fallen. Past tense. It's like John didn't see the star fall. He realizes that the star had already fallen to earth. Important little distinction in terms of what is going on. Earlier when he said he saw the star, it was a more present tense. I saw a star falling from the sky. So I connected this back to a passage that Jesus said, some things that Jesus said to his disciples back in Luke chapter 10, and it's right after the disciples for the first time had gone out and preached, and they came back to Jesus after they had been preaching about what they knew from Jesus, and this is the little conversation that the disciples had with Jesus. It's Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 17, and it says, "The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." They went out and preached. They were even able to cast out demons. Notice they did it in Jesus' name. Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Rejoice that you are saved. Rejoice that you have the opportunity to share the gospel. Rejoice what God has done. Don't get too caught up in this whole spiritual warfare kind of thing. That will be happening, and you can count on some protection, and you can count on help, and you can count on victory over those things, but realize that the real rejoicing is about salvation, not about whatever power or authority that we have over the spiritual things. Now, there's a tie here between what we see in this verse and what we're going to read about in Revelation. He talks about snakes and scorpions. See that in there? Guess what's going to happen with some of the trumpets? We're going to have snakes and scorpions. I got a flag stuck in my... Sorry. It was bugging me. Boo! I'm sorry. That was... Now I'm totally off track. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. So what we see is a connection between the star that was fallen here in Jesus' conversation and the star or the angel that fell in Revelation. Jesus talks about the star or Satan falling because of what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection and the disciples putting their faith in Jesus, and all of that causes Satan's downfall. This star has fallen from heaven in Revelation. So the one thing that we want to get from this passage, though, as we go into Revelation and look at the things that are written there, is the lesson one, which is protection and authority over spiritual things comes because of our relationship to God. You can defeat demonic things. You can defeat Satan. You can do that because of whose name you bear. Because of Jesus, we can do that. We can count on protection. He talks in this passage about to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nothing coming from the enemy. Satan cannot get at you because you have Jesus Christ. Demons cannot get at you because you have Jesus Christ. You are protected. And we're going to see that as we read Revelation. Now, there is a slight issue here in the terms of the reality is that Satan doesn't go after, a lot of times, Christians directly. Satan uses other things to come at you. If you have a person, so for example, Shanti shared about Sri Lanka and about the government coming at a church. Well, Satan can use that government in that country to attack and even kill Christians. Satan can't get at those Christians directly, so Satan uses other things to get at us. And that can happen. So we have to be careful about broadening this out beyond the promise. The promise is Satan cannot take away what God has given you. Demons can't do that. You are protected from that. Don't lose sight of that ever in your life, in your Christian walk, in the Christian life. You can say, well, Satan is, you know, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. The devil may try to make you do things, but he can't. He can't harm you directly. Okay? Can't say that strongly enough. Everybody got that? Amen. There's at least one amen. Several amens. We'll get a rousing applause later on, but that's okay. So the point is that this whole thing that we're looking at from the first four trumpets to the next trumpets is a change from a natural things going on. This is all about supernatural things going on. This is all about demonic oppression, warfare. The reason why you need all the armor that the kids have is because that's the stuff that keeps us protected from all of these other things. It's important to keep that in mind as we go on into Revelation. Okay, and I know you all came for the Revelation story, so back to Revelation 9. Continuing on in verse 1, we saw a star that had fallen. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. Remember Luke? What did Jesus say about protection? Snakes and scorpions. This is power that these locusts have like scorpions, which is a tie then to what Jesus was saying, which makes us realize that we're talking about, again, a demonic thing here. We're not talking about a natural thing. Locusts don't have stingers like scorpions. They don't. Right? You got that. Locusts, normal locusts don't. In fact, locusts don't affect a person directly. What they do is they eat all the stuff and then that affects us. And that's kind of the idea here. You got locusts who are coming out of this smoke and out of the abyss. So what is this abyss that he's talking about? Remember the story of Jesus? He goes into this area where there's a guy there that's possessed by demons. And the demons are called legion because there's many of them in this person. Jesus goes to cast them out. When he does that, the demons who know they cannot go against Jesus, if Jesus casts them out, they got to go, they say, "Don't cast us into the abyss. Let us go into those herd of pigs over there instead." And that's what Jesus does. That tells us that the abyss is the place where demons are. It's probably not strictly speaking hell as we think of it. Instead, it's the place where demons exist, where they are, where they would prefer not to be, but they are anyway. So when this star, this angel, is given the key to the abyss, what it means is this angel or this person, we're saying that it's Satan from what Jesus said earlier, is allowed to release the demonic hordes into the world. Scary. This is a spiritual attack. The big problem a lot of times is people want to read this kind of literally, so they look at these and think, well, they're locusts, and as we'll read, maybe there's some kind of helicopter or there's some kind of a... No, these are unnatural things. These are not normal, everyday things in our world. This is a release of demonic things is what this is. The first four trumpets, more natural, attacking creation. These are supernatural, and as we're going to see, they're attacking directly people. In verse 4, it says, "They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree." That's what locusts do, right? So they were told not to do what locusts normally do. "Instead, only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads." What did Jesus say? They won't harm you. You're protected. And that's what this is saying. These demonic things are attacking everybody else. All the other people in the world. It's one of the things that we sometimes get caught up in because we start thinking, well, this locust army, maybe it represents, and we'll talk about this more in just a minute, but this locust army represents, you know, Chinese people or Muslims or something like that. No, they are the target of these people, not the tool of these people. Does that make sense? Because they don't have the seal of God. So they're the ones that these demonic forces are actually attacking, not Christians. So we don't want to get caught up in some kind of literal battle between this group or that group. That comes, but it's not yet. That comes later on. This is a demonic attack against those who do not have the seal of God. That's the emphasis here. We keep reading here in verse 5. "They were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them." It's going to be terrible. And the key is, who's sealed by God and who isn't? Who has the seal of God? That's your protection. The ones who don't have the seal of God, they're not protected. And so that's, you know, that helps us focus as we go through this chapter of who's being attacked here and who isn't. Well, it's the ones who don't have that seal. Now, what's going to happen is if Christians are there and we are not being attacked, guess what's going to happen by the people who are being attacked? Well, there's two possibilities. One is they will think, what I need is the seal of God. Then I will not be attacked anymore. Or they can say, what makes them people so special? I'm going to go after them. I'm going to persecute them even stronger or even harder. That could happen. And that's one of the things that when Jesus talks about the end times, that's one of the things he talks about, is there will be more persecutions. There will be more things going, attacking those who do have the seal of God. So that can happen. The important thing is, as we read this, is believers don't have to worry about that demonic attack directly, because these things don't affect those who have the seal. Have I said that clear enough to everybody? Got it, right? Good. So we'll keep reading. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. That's one of those. This is, again, as we keep reading, we're going to keep getting up to this idea that people keep trying to find something in the world that represents this, that Jesus could be describing. I think the point that the vision is showing us is these are not natural things. These are supernatural things. They're not the normal, everyday locusts. They kind of act like locusts, except when they act like scorpions. And they have, I don't know for sure what women's hair is different than men's hair, but apparently they have women's hair, which means that they have it, like, you know, curled or something. And I don't know. They're all fancied up or something. I don't know what that means, but it probably has something to do with being just longer and, in some sense, just all over, rather than. But it's a little bit weird. Here, let's do this. This is a picture of a locust. That's a locust, okay? You can see, I don't see any hair. There's no horse's head. Does it look like a horse to you? How about, I don't see any women's hair. There's no crown of gold. Do you see, do their faces resemble a human face? Not really. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, the sound of their wings. I mean, it's not. That's a regular locust, okay? This is a picture of what he's describing. Helicopter. Looks just like a helicopter. Yeah, exactly right. It's got a human face. It's got a mouth like a lion, so its teeth are shining. It's got wings. It's got a scorpion tail. And it kind of looks like a horse overall, because verse 7 says the locusts look like horses prepared for battle. So it kind of looks like. This isn't, if you see this, immediately comes to your mind is, well, that looks like a locust. No, it doesn't. Okay, well, there's another picture of one that's a little bit, that looks more like a locust, right? No, not really. That's the answer. I showed two because the first one seemed to me a little cartoonish, a little bit. This one seems a little more demonic. And you can see that these locusts are attacking these people. Yeah, you can't really see it because it's there. It's kind of there. You can see it on the one here in the front, the bottom corner, right here. You can see the hair. So the thing that I just want, by showing you the pictures, is to try to get into our minds that even though he uses the word locust when he's talking about these things, they don't really look like locusts. They're not natural. They are supernatural. They are demonic. This is a spiritual description of the attacks that are going on at this time, and that God has allowed by giving the key to the leader of the locust army. So they can unlock the abyss, and all those demons that are locked up in there are now released into the world, and they are attacking the people who don't have the seal of God. Bad news, yeah, bad news. In chapter 9, verse 10, it says, they had tails with stingers like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as a king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon, that is destroyer. Both Abaddon and Apollyon mean destroyer, or the one who brings ruin. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. Wait, there's more? If that wasn't bad enough, that wasn't a woe that, I mean, yeah, apparently with the reference to 5 months is actually the period of time that locusts, it's a lifespan of a locust, but it's also generally the time, a period of in the year where locusts are, once winter comes, they pretty much disappear or go into hibernation or something. So 5 months has the idea then of a temporary thing. It's not forever. And it's tied into the idea but it's a whole season of this terrible stuff. Terrible stuff. And it's only the first woe. In verse 13, we go on. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. The locusts apparently subside. The whole demonic attack from the fifth trumpet is kind of passing away. It's easing up in some way. The sixth trumpet is blown. And there's these four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates, and they're going to be released. Now, remember back, you can remember chapter 8, right? It's right before chapter 9, all the way back. Before, there was going to be four angels. They were at the four corners of the world. They were going to release some wind, and that wind, but before they did that, the angel says, we got to seal some people first. And so they did that. That's what's happened. Here we have four angels, but they're at the river Euphrates. And you think, well, what is that? Euphrates was kind of the boundary between east and west at the time. Everything in the Roman Empire, which John lived in, the Euphrates River was kind of the boundary between the Roman Empire and the empires of the east. And the strength of that was called the Parthians. You don't really want a history lesson, but the Parthians were the kind of the enemy of the Roman Empire. But they were on the other side of the river. It was kind of like, as long as we kept them on our side and they kept on their side, everything was good. But the Euphrates River is kind of the boundary. Interestingly enough, also, though, the Euphrates River is the boundary of the promise to Abraham about the promised land. When God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you this land, the eastern boundary was the Euphrates River. So the Euphrates is the boundary between civilization, if you want to put it that way, or the kingdom of God, and outside the kingdom of God. That's what the Euphrates River represents. And so here these four angels are there, and they're going to release something. They are going to be released. And this is what happens. Verse 15. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. That's a lot of people. Are we at 8 billion people now, or probably pushing 9 billion maybe? So that's 3 billion people killed. The number of the mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. It would have taken a while to count twice 10,000 times 10,000. Some of your versions may say 200 million. because that's the literal 10,000 times 10,000 doubled. So that's 200 million. And that's a lot. That's a big army. That's a lot of, so there's four angels leading these troops. My thinking is that we're talking about the same type of thing as we talked about in the fifth seal. Now, this could be a huge third world war type thing where China or a lot of the Muslim world comes against the West and the West goes against the East. And so we're talking about this gigantic, huge world war that would dwarf World War I and World War II. That's a real possibility because some people are being protected from the demonic attacks and some people aren't, and it could contribute to a political upheaval, and there could just be this major big war. But we also have to take into account the description that we're going to read of these this army. In verse 17, the horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. Scorpions the first time, snakes the second time. Remember what Jesus said about protecting from snakes and scorpions back in Luke. Similar type of a thing. This is another, it appears to me, another demonic spiritual attack against people. This one may be more generalized and not, because he doesn't mention anywhere that anybody's protected from it. But we could say that if those who are sealed by God are protected from the first one, it's likely that they're protected from the second one, but there's no explicit statement there. But you can see the scope of the attack on people is getting more and more. And I think that it's just, this is the second woe. And you can take the first one and expand it into the second one and just talk about how many people are going to be affected by the problems and the attacks and the consequences of all the things that have happened. And it's just a third of mankind is just gone. A short period of time. And we're just, I mean, we're sitting here thankful that we're sealed by God. Then we look at all the people that we know and say, what about them? What about those people we know that aren't sealed by God? What will happen to them? This is the description of that. This is the idea that people are going to be open to these kinds of attacks. That's how much God protects us now. Not just us, sealed by God or in the church or who have faith in God or are saved, but everybody. Because God, as we read this, we realize that God is keeping these things away from us. He's not allowing demons out of the abyss. He is not allowing these angels to lead their army into the world. He's keeping all of that stuff back. He's keeping it all back away from everybody, not just us. It's one of the things that God does every day that we have to realize about how he protects creation, about how he protects people. We think it's just, you know, it's just that this is the normal way that goes, but the reality is God at any time can just say, you know what, I'm done keeping people in the abyss. I'm done, or demons in the abyss. I'm done keeping these four angels back. These four angels, go at it. Just go after them. I'm going to let you do that. And it says here that it says in there that these four angels were prepared for this day, this month, this year, this time. And God's going to release them and say, you want to live without me? this is what life without me looks like. You are completely exposed to forces that you don't have any understanding over. You just do not realize how bad it would be if I did not protect you and keep you safe. And we have to say that, yeah. Praise God that he does that. We count, one of the blessings that we should count, as we sang today, is this idea that God protects us in ways that we don't even really understand. And one day, God's going to remove that protection. And when he does, literally, all hell's going to break loose. And that's the description that we have. And then what we'd like to read is, and people turned to the Lord and repented and proclaimed their love for God and began to follow the, well, let's read what they actually do. Verse 20, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. There's two things there. One is actions, the second part. The first part is what you worship. So demonic forces are out there. The whole world is under the oppression of this. And what do people do? They turn to those gods that can't see, hear, and talk and think they're going to save them. Whatever that is in people's lives. Maybe it's money. Maybe I can buy, maybe I can pay off some of these demons and they won't attack me anymore. Maybe I can pray to this. Maybe I can look to my astrological charts and it will show something in the stars that will protect me. But, and that's what they'll do. They'll turn to anything that they can think of rather than put themselves in the mercy of God and turn to Jesus Christ. For some people, it'll be behaviors. And we know, and this is, you know, the behaviors that we see here, a lot of times this is connected to the idea of an addiction, that people continue to make the choice to follow after a certain behavior, even though they know it doesn't work well for them, even though it creates problems for them. I know that I shouldn't take drugs, but I want to anyway. I know that when I take these drugs, I've got major problems in my life. I have demons literally all around me. But I'm going to take the drugs anyway. And it's the same, that's the second part of this. It's the same people doing that. Yeah, I know that this behavior is bad for me. But I'm going to do it anyway. And they make that choice. So you got those two groups of people. Those who have some kind of God other than the real God who think that's going to save them. And then the people who just say, I just can't give this up. I just won't give this up. I just won't change anything. And we look at that and we think, how sad. How sad that people would actually do that. You can be protected from these things. But you choose not to be. And people just don't get it. Or they do get it and don't care. One or the other. And that is as much sunshine as I can put on this verse, okay? Thank God I put my trust in God and I'm sealed. And I'm sad for the other people who aren't. Because I don't understand it. It's just totally, it's totally outside of my realm. There's just some things that are like that. You probably know this too. I mean, you've seen other people and they make decisions or choices and you say to yourself, I just don't get it why they do that. And that's really what we come to when we do this. Terrible demonic attacks, but people still will not make the right choice in their life. They still won't put their faith in God. So this is the best lesson I could come up with for this today. And it's kind of depressing, right? It's depressing from the standpoint that we look at other people and think they don't have to go through this, and they do anyway. So these two trumpets are demonic attacks against those who are not sealed with the name of God. I'm going to stop right there. How many woes are there supposed to be? Three. How many did we do today? Two. That means there's one more coming, right? You know what the interesting thing is that it's kind of weird, not weird, but it's interesting that what's going to happen for the next three chapters is we're going to take a break. It's like, John says, okay, I know what the third woe is, but I'm not ready for that. So we're going to talk about some other stuff for a while, and then we'll come back to the other woe, because that's just crazy. The third woe, by the way, is what's called the seven bowls. So the third woe is the worst, because it's actually seven things, not one. So there's not three woes, there's 10 woes or something like that. Just to give you a little look ahead, right? But before then, we're going to talk about some other stuff. So we're not going to, I don't want to tell you everything that's going on. I want you to be surprised. Just go away from here understanding that we are in a spiritual warfare, and thank God that we are protected from things that we just don't realize. Amen. Let's pray. Our God, I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you that you do not release these things now. And God, I thank you that we are sealed by your love and your grace and your mercy. That is because of our faith in you that allows us to have victory over these things. And so, God, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask that you would help us to witness to these things to the people that we meet on a regular basis. God, help us to be good witnesses to others. God, we would love as many people as possible to be sealed. So God, help us. And thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with us as we sing the closing hymn.
So, be alert, stand firm in the faith, be valiant and strong, and let all you do be done in love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. We leave these here or two?
Is there anybody sunshine?